You know, it's good to get started here the last couple of days and really get on the field, knock some rust off in a lot of areas, and then start to get acquainted with our players on the field as coaches. You know, we haven't had that chance yet. Everything's been classroom work, but really fired up about the way the guys have worked. Appreciate the hard work they've put in. When you look at the body of work over the last 3 days, we made progress. And so still a lot of work to do, but it was a good start. So with that, I'll take your questions.
There was a report that a PR expert was going to be helping members of the organization, including you, deal with the media. Is that true, and how's it going?
It is true. Yeah, you know, it's important that we are well-rounded individuals, right? And I'm a big believer that in order to win on the field, you have to win off the field. And so life skills are important and no different in this case. You know, we're gonna do things the right way and develop our people, and I'm also included in that. So that'll be big for us.
Coach, have you made a determination yet on what you guys are going to do about Mike Gillisley and the contract, the offer sheet for the Patriots?
Yeah, you know, Mike's a good football player, right? And we understand that. And we're still going through the process of evaluating that offer sheet. And then, you know, in a couple of days, we'll have a decision.
What can you tell us about where Cyrus Bonjo is right now, physically, mentally, after what happened this week?
Yeah, you know, I know we put out a statement. Look, we're going through the process right now of gathering the information. That's all I can tell you at this time.
Sean, when you're looking at players and going through the scouting process, how do you evaluate character? And I guess to ask two questions at once, how do you slot that in terms of the overall scouting process?
It's a part of the overall process. And like anything, we're going to go through all those steps. And character is big. It's a part of the evaluation. Is it more important than others? You know, for some people it is. It is a start. As you evaluate, again, we answering the question earlier about off the field. To win on the field, you have to win off the field. And not to sound repetitive, but I believe in that. And so character is a big deal for us as we evaluate players. And there are other characteristics, too, that we look for in addition to character. But it's a part of the process for sure.
Strong game of things with different things. Character can be done any different ways, whether it be showing up to practice on time versus somebody in the draft who may have a history of criminal history, what have you. Can you give any kind of list of how you would rank different types of things of if a guy's been in this type of trouble, he's off our board?
Every situation is a little bit different, and I don't think you ever say always. Two words you try and keep out of the vocabulary are always and never, but you do have a process, an evaluation process, whereby you go through the vetting process of each individual, and then you take it from there, and how does he fit us on the field, scheme-wise, and then the off-the-field evaluation. So our scouts do a great job with that, and this is a big time of year for those guys, right? And Doug and his staff have given us as coaches a good landscape as to the players out there and the type of people they are off the field. So that's big for us.
Sean, a lot's been placed on your shoulders in just 4 months, and now you are speaking for the franchise on what's traditionally a general manager's run luncheon, or at least has been here in Buffalo. What insights can you provide us, and how much can you speak towards the draft, given the fact that you've been busy building a team and looking at, you know, dealing with mini camps and things like that?
Right. Well, that's why we've got a strong team. You know, I mentioned Doug and the scouting staff and the work that they put in all season long for next weekend. And so we're going through that process now in terms of respecting that process really with the meeting times and stacking the board and making sure we know these players, again, off the field and on the field, and how they fit us on the field, and whether it's a scheme fit or whatever it is. And so, we respect that process. Our scouts do a great job. The coaches have done a great job with that process. And so the communication now is important as we lead into draft day with that.
Because there's a narrative out there, whether it's right or wrong, I'm not sure, but with you now speaking for the franchise in this, that in some ways Doug Whaley's job role has been, or, and authority has been diminished in this, because you're the person who's addressing us in a pre-draft type of situation.
No, not at all. This is absolutely a team effort, 100% a team effort. And Doug and I have had great meetings. He's keeping me abreast as to the situation as far as evaluating the players. He and his staff line things up for us in a nice way so we can have productive, healthy meetings so we can come up with the right players for this organization moving forward.
Sean, you said at your introductory press conference that Doug Whaley maintained control of the 53-man roster. Is that still accurate?
It is still accurate.
So what happens in a situation then where, you know, I know you said, you know, it's a team pick that your guys are going to work together. I'm sure every organization says that. If there's a split in that draft room and the card needs to be handed in, is it Doug Whaley's final call as to who you pick?
We're going to make that call together. We're absolutely going to make that call together. When we go through the process, let's understand the process is about, it's not always, we don't always go into those meeting rooms and agree, right? We don't always, it's like your family, you don't always go home and agree on everything. And that's important that you can have that dynamic, healthy conversations, have some disagreement at times in there. And that's not to say there's been disagreement, but when we do things, it's got to be open-air communication. Not afraid to disagree, so that at the end of the process, we get the right players for this organization.
One more follow-up on that, if I could. If he does control the 53, as you said, I understand the one-voice philosophy that you've sort of incorporated, but ultimately, if these are his calls in terms of the draft, shouldn't that be an exception where we should hear from him in those instances?
We believe in the one-voice philosophy, and I believe in that wholeheartedly, and alignment is key in terms of how we do things on the field, how we do things off the field. In this situation, no different. So we're all in this together. And like I said a few minutes ago, this is a total team effort, both on the field and off the field. And Doug and I have spent a lot of time together, Doug and his staff, my staff, and we're going to continue to do that as we head into next weekend and make sure we get the right player for this organization.
Sean, when you look at your roster in the quarterback position, how vital is it, do you believe, given you're a defensive guy, you need corners, and this team is a little bit thin, how vital is it going to be, do you think, to get one of those guys, maybe in the first round, maybe in the second round, but high, someone who can come ready to play?
Yeah, we're going to look at every position. You mentioned corner. I certainly understand where you're coming from on that, but we're going to look at every position to improve this football team. And so whether it's corner, whatever other position, even positions we're strong at, we feel like we're strong at, and there's a number of them that we have to continue to improve this roster, and in doing so, improve this football team exponentially for years to come, both short and long term.
Well, Don, what do you know about the draft class at corner right now? What has Doug shared with you? And I'm not going to give away names, but can you at least give us some input or some thought on the cornerback position in this draft?
Yeah, it's I would say one of the deeper positions in the draft. That said, we have to find the right fit, right, for our football team and the schemes that we run. Corner is an important position, and you talk about affecting quarterbacks, right? I'm a big believer in trying to affect quarterbacks from the defensive side of the football, and so corners are an important part of that in terms of that formula. So, that's a position we're looking hard at, just like the other positions. We're looking, taking a long time to detail our work and make sure we've got all the I's dotted and T's crossed.
Sean, is it fair to say that you leave I know you say it's a together collaborative effort with Doug Whaley and the personnel staff, but do you leave the details, the nitty-gritty details of breaking down all the prospects, putting the reports together to the scouts, and then you kind of come in and collaborate that way? Or how heavily involved are you specifically in that research?
Yeah, I'm involved, very involved, as everyone is. I mean, I'm a firm believer, in order to make good, sound decisions, it's not a one-person meeting. There's everyone's on board. Everyone's in the room. It's open communication. Shame on you if you don't say what's on your mind, right? And so at the end of the day, it's not who came up with the idea, it's that we came up with the right idea at the right time. And no different with this draft, and no different with things on the field. When we do certain things on the field, right, as a head coach, I want ideas. We got to be out in front and be dynamic and forward thinking on things. And when you do the right thing, you put the time in, you can do that.
We've seen some of those fifth-year options come in on Kelvin Benjamin, Mike Evans, a couple days ago. You guys are waiting on Sammy Watkins. How much will the draft affect your decision on Watkins?
Sammy's a good football player, and I know he's a good football player. The key right now for Sammy is that he's in a good spot. He's attacking the rehab. You know, we obviously have to continue to evaluate that situation as in respect to Sammy's situation. And you know, the hardest part about that is with Sammy's situation is there's not going to be much different, you know, physically because of the limitations with the injury for us to evaluate, you know, prior to the deadline. That said, you know, we're still going through that similar, no different than Tyrod's situation. Going to be methodical, make sure we look at things the right way.
Coach, you just getting back to cornerback, you had two young ones that you really had to rely heavily on last year in Carolina. I'm just curious what was the biggest thing you might have taken away from that experience working with two young, inexperienced guys that had to play a lot.
Right. You know, in modern day NFL, I believe, you know, you want to find players that can help you, and sometimes timing's important, right? So who's available? You want to find guys that, and especially in the first couple rounds, that can come in and contribute. And so last year in Carolina, we were able to do that and at the corner positions. And so you go through, again, the makeup on the players, and that's part of the evaluation process is, you know, are they mature enough to come in and do that and execute at a high level earlier in their career? And that's what we're going through now.
Sean, the Pagoulas fired their hockey coach today after 2 years. They fired Rex Ryan after 2 years. Does that create any greater sense of urgency in you to get this thing right?
No, I'm focused on doing the job, doing it the right way, and doing things what I see needs to be done for us to get to where we need to go for this organization and my vision for that.
Sean, when you guys sit down in the draft room next week, how many players will be on that board? I know some teams like to keep kind of a tight list, maybe 50 to 100. Some teams have, you know, almost everybody on the board. How many will you guys have on the board?
Well, if everyone else will give us their picks in the first round, we could just take all the picks in the first round. We'll be good, call it a day, right? No, it's, you know, we're going to do what's necessary to have our board set the way it's right for us. And if you probably walked in 32 different, you know, war rooms, if you will, you're going to see 32 different draft boards and setups, you know, who's in the room, who sits where. That's the kind of the neat part about the process with the draft, right? So we need to get it right for us. And I've been around picks before, and they haven't been, you know, flashy picks, but they turn out being the right pick. And that's what's important here as we go through that process.
Sean, there's been a lot of attention to your attention as an organization paid to quarterbacks and prospects in this draft. Just a sense of why that much research there. I know it's the position that everybody wants to talk about, but it just seems like this team is heavily focused on that. What's the thought process? Right.
Well, it's a quarterback-driven league, so very important position. We feel good about the quarterbacks we have. Really like the work that they put in this week, starting with Tyrod and right on down the line. So it's an important position just overall. And just like the other positions, we're looking, in order to do our job the right way, for us to just ignore certain positions wouldn't be doing my job or Doug doing his job. So we're going to look at every position so that we know if X player is sitting there, you know, we know them inside and out, and we can make a good, solid decision for this organization. Quarterback, no different.
So, Terry, one more follow-up on this. Terry Pagoula accompanied you on a couple of the visits. Not entirely unusual, but it was noteworthy and maybe not as common for other teams and maybe for that owner. So why that, and has he been involved in visits with non-quarterback positions that you put in?
He's been involved. He's always involved. And the greatest thing about Terry and Kim is they give us the resources and they're available, right? And so what more could a guy ask for in terms of from a leadership standpoint? So Terry is very involved and was involved in those quarterback visits, and they're going to be involved moving forward. And so I love the commitment that to me signals to us and this organization. How many owners out there would be spending that time to go on those trips? And it, to me, it shows the importance and what it means to both Kim and Terry.
Sean, the two safeties, Hooker and Adams, who most people have up near the top, to us, the people who try to break down the stuff, it seems like there's pretty good difference between one with the ball skills, one who can maybe play up in the box a little more, like Adams. Are they a little bit more similar? Is that about right? I mean, do they have pretty much a good different skill set, or are they a little bit more similar than maybe what we give credit for?
There are certain players with ball skills out there, and ball skills is important, right? You look to take the ball away. It's all about the football, and that's what we look to do on defense. You saw some of it out there today at practice. So that's a big point of emphasis for us, and you try and make sure you have enough of that defensively, whether it's at linebacker, corner, safety, and you try and offset where it isn't. So that's an important part of the process as well, yeah.
One of the things you mentioned was flashy picks. One of the downfalls or one of the troubles of this franchise over the past 17 years has been making flashy picks, whether it's reaching or trading up to get Sammy or whatever. I mean, how much do you need to not make a flashy pick just to make one? How much can you guard against that? Because the flashy picks have really helped set this franchise back.
Yeah, I think if you go out in the parking lot and you look at my car and the type of car I drive, I think you'd see that I'm not into flash, and I drive a pickup truck, but I like to put armor on the tires once in a while also, right? So so we're going to do the right thing for this organization, and if that's a flashy guy, if he turns out to be that, it's a flashy guy for the right reasons, and if it's not, so be it. But we're going to pick a guy for the right reasons, and whether he's flash on him or not, whether there's armor on those tires or not, is a bonus, I guess. But
to clarify, Sean, we have seen flashy pickup trucks in this parking lot. Can you tell us what kind of pickup truck?
It's an F-150.
Sean, well, when the Bills colors
on. When the schedule comes out tonight, you're going to be playing your former team. You spent a while there, obviously, in Carolina. I mean, is that something you're going to circle right away, or is it going to be any different for you?
Oh, they're a good football team. I'll tell you what I am going to circle is the next practice, phase two, when it starts Monday. That's the next thing on my calendar, and then what happens after I get off the stage and going back to finish up with our players and then get on this draft again. So that's not a cop-out answer. That's what I focus on, and that's what I want our players and our staff to focus on, is we've got to get ourselves right, and you guys have heard me say that before. And so sticking with that process, that's a word I say a lot, I know, but I believe in it, right? And in order to get to where you want to get to, we've got to make sure we're taking the right steps in between now and then. So,
what's your view on undrafted guys and how many you need to sign, the impact, what you're going to need from that group of players, not only in training camp, but when you're looking at putting together your roster?
Yeah, I'm a big believer in the undrafted pool of players. Those priority free agents is basically how we term those players. If you look back at my history and the teams I've been with and the positions I've coached over the years, you'll find players that have made the team as priority free agents. Quentin Michael, to name one, in Philadelphia, who had a great career. So you look in every nook and cranny, if you will, to find those players that can help a football team and help an organization. So there's a lot of guys that are missed in the evaluation, whatever school they're at. So I'm a big believer in it, and we're going to look at that part of the draft very hard.
Given how the team's structured, number of players on the roster now, cap situation, how do you view the number of guys you need to get compared to maybe other years or what your experience has been?
Well, the key right now is for us to find the right players, and then within that priority free agent period, you have to make sure numbers get to a certain level at every position so you can go out and practice and have a good quality practice, offense, defense, and special teams. So you have to keep that in mind. Yet at the same time, we want to find guys that have a chance to make this football team. Not into numbers, I'm into quality. And so that's important for us. I know our scouts have done a great job with that, and we're looking forward to continuing to have those meetings where – I want to hear about, player X or Johnny from whatever school it is. I'm looking forward to learning about those type of players because they can help football teams.
John, I'm sorry to come back to this, but there was a question earlier. I'm trying to get clarification on it. So when you guys are in the war room and you work together, obviously you want to come to a unified decision. But you got a lot of, cooks in the kitchen sometimes. People want different things. Who has the final say there? And if it is a group decision, how do you weigh one person's voice compared to the others?
Well, you respect all. You start off with that in mind. You respect everyone's opinion. That's why they're here. And that's what leaders do. And at the end of the day, it's a decision that will be made by Doug and I together. We have to weigh all the opinions that are in the room. And certainly Doug has great familiarity with the players because he's been looking at these players for a long time. And so I'm trusting Doug on that and his staff in terms of their experience around these players and what's happened on campus with these players over the course of the last 1, 2 years, 3 years sometimes. So, you know, that's a big part of it for us is making sure that we know these players inside and out, and then putting the information out there so we can make good, solid decisions.
Doug disagreed, but if you disagree, and let's say you want a certain receiver that's close on your board and maybe he wants a defensive back, what do you do there?
At the end of the day, we agree at the end of it all. That's what we do. We come out and iron sharpens iron at the end of the day, right? So, you know, we go out there and we say, hey, this is how I feel, this is how you feel, and we hammer it out. That's what, and if it takes all day, that's what we're going to do.
Do you understand how that sounds and looks? You come out and tell us it's a singular voice now for the organization, but behind closed doors at a draft, your voices are equal. That's just hard to fathom.
That's what great teams do. That's what great teams do, 100%. Great teams do that. They have healthy conversations, and they continue to hammer things out because at the end of the day, if you do that, you come to the right decision for the football team.
Sean, does Terry Pegula get a vote in that?
Absolutely. He absolutely does. That's a great part about this. With Terry and Kim being available like they are and the resources that they commit, they're very involved and as they should be.
Sean, what did you make of Chad Kelly as you got to know him throughout this process?
But understand this, Joe, that at the end of the day, it's a decision that Doug and I will make together.
What did you make of Chad Kelly as you got to get to know him throughout this process?
Yeah, we're still going through it. We're still going through it with Chad. Obviously, I know what he did in college, but that's another guy we're going through that the makeup on and getting to know him and whatnot. And so really haven't gotten to Chad and his total makeup. And so but that'll be handled in the next couple of days here.
You talked about undrafted free agents. What about small school players who are, you know, ranked high in the draft? And, you know, a guy like Western Michigan's Corey Davis, how much more difficult is it to gauge what their potential when they play against what is considered weaker competition?
Yeah, that's a good question. It is a projection to some extent. You like the All-Star games for those reasons because you can get everyone on the same playing field. Corey's a good football player, like the other small school football players, some of that are out there. So that goes into you weigh that in the process and the evaluation. At the same time, there's been a lot of fantastic small school football players that have come to the NFL and have played for a long time. So, you know, I'm from a small school. I didn't play, obviously, but got a little part in my heart for those small school guys.
Hey, Sean, going back to something Tim touched on, the character concerns and how you weigh all that, are some concerns about what they've done off the field weighed more heavily than others? You know, the big topic around the NFL for the past several years has been domestic violence, and teams are really coming down on these prospects who have that sort of thing in their background. Is something like that a non-starter for you? Do you have to look at every situation? How do you really weigh all of that?
Right. Yeah, again, you know, the off-the-field part is big for us. You know, I don't know how other teams look at it. I know for us it's a big part of that evaluation. And again, the scouts come up with some good information for us. And the way, you know, on-campus visits and where they dig to find information, it's always interesting to find out some of that information that comes available, right? And some teams get it and some teams don't. And so that's an important part of it for us in that evaluation of character.
With those people that have that in their background, though, or at least are alleged to have that in their background, how tough is it to kind of fight through the initial layer and to actually get to know these draft picks as personalities, even though, you know, they're probably just saying and doing all the right things right now?
Right. Yeah, there's, you know, I've been around the league for right around 20 years now, so it's not my first rodeo in that regard, and so experience helps. And then I think you want to try and keep an open mind when you start off and go through and look at each guy individually and then go back to what we believe in and for us, what are the things we're looking for.
Sean, do you mentioned you guys have done a lot of homework on these quarterbacks. Would you worry about the message it would send to Tyrod if you drafted a quarterback at 10?
Not necessarily. You know, our players understand that we're going to compete, and we're going to look at every option to improve this football team. And so, you know, we're going to earn the right, number one, to be on this football team, and that starts with myself and right through our players. And so no different to start. You have to earn the right to start on this football team. And Tyrod and I have talked about that, just like I've talked about that with the other players. And so I believe that's how you do things. And when you do that, you come up with a pretty good product at the end.
With six picks, ideally, would you want to trade back and add a pick or two, knowing that you've got some various needs to address?
Well, if, you know, again, wherever the good football players are, that's where we're going. It's like fishing, right? You know, I like to fish, and so wherever those fish are hunkered in underneath those, in the shadows underneath those lily pads, that's where we're going and trying to find those schools of fish that are hiding out there. And so however the draft moves, like that school of fish, that's where we're going, and we're trying to find one of those big fish hanging among those lily pads somewhere. And so that's the fun part of draft day, as everyone knows. It's an exciting time.
Linebackers, Sean, are really important in your scheme, obviously. They have to be athletic, is what you've had in Carolina, at least. When you look at Reuben Foster of Alabama, like, is he kind of bring the whole package, or is he more of just a, you know, straight line guy? He seems to be pretty athletic compared to some of those other guys that come out of that system.
Yeah, dynamic player, good football player, can run and makes a lot of plays. And Coach Saban does a fantastic job down there. And you know that their success really speaks for itself. Year after year, they're putting out, you know, good football players that play well at our level, and no different in this case with Reuben.